It's a NewsBuzz edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. The Mission Creek Festival has been going on this week in Iowa City and continues through the weekend. It includes concerts, comedy, literary readings, film screenings, lectures, of course, food, and a tech and innovation mini-conference. One of the speakers at this weekend's Mission Creek Tech Conference is Sean Cornally. He's the headmaster at the Big Ideas Group. That's an optional secondary school program in Cedar Rapids. He joins me in the studio. Sean, welcome.
Hey, thanks.
Give us a preview of what you'll be talking about this weekend.
Sure. Yeah, if you want to avoid coming to the talk altogether, I'll just tell you the point. My point is that unless science and math education embrace high-tech, open-source technologies, there's no chance that we're going to retain any student interest and fix the problem of what I see as, you know, unenjoyable educational experiences.
Okay, so tell me, what's the difference between what you're doing or what you propose and what most students experience in their STEM education, their science education in public school?
Sure. The first thing I'd like to say is, like, I start off kind of negative, and we rebirth the phoenix at the end, you know. So I don't want to come across as sort of hating on education. In fact, quite the opposite. I love teachers, and what they're trying to do is amazing. And the point I'm trying to make is that we've asked teachers to teach kids math and science, but that's impossible. I mean, it's an ever-increasing, infinite field of information, and you've asked teachers to pick and choose what to teach and how to deliver it to everyone. And I just think that that's a false premise.
But there are basics of science you need to get under your belt to continue, right, to explore.
There are, but the way we deliver that is questionable. And if you want people to get the basics, you've got to also ensure that they somehow understand why they need to know it and have them actually engage with it. I mean, if you stand up and just sort of say, hey, here's the bullet points of the basics of math and science, know that. Mm-hmm. The kid says, well, why? You know, every kid asks, why do I need to know this? Or when do I need to know that? If the kid's asking that question, probably means they don't know the answer. And my point is, if we can use open source technologies like Arduino or processing or GitHub or things that are allowing students to work on real projects that actually interface with a real community, you get this engagement buy-in that then allows the teacher to talk about these basics in a way that the kid retains.
Okay. You just listed a litany of things that most of us know nothing about. Drill down there on one of those. Tell me what you're talking about.
Sure. So when I say open source, I mean someone develops the technology. Like an Arduino board is a really great example. It's a tiny little computer that was developed in Italy, and you can buy it for pretty cheap, about $30. And you can program it with a free program on your computer. You can tell it, you know, I want to light this LED up, I want to run this motor. And then you can load that program onto this little computer and put that little computer in a helmet or in a shirt or on your water heater to have it change the temperature throughout the day. And that gives kids the ability to sort of dig into and say, well, I need to know how to program. I need to know some math. But I'm doing it to produce this thing that solves a problem, as opposed to I'm learning it for the sake of learning it. Mm-hmm. So Arduino is one of the most important technologies that we use at our school.
So you're making gadgets, as I understand. Gadgets, devices, problem-solving mechanisms.
As a capsule, like a gel cap for the content, for the learning.
In fact, you brought into the studio today an example of, is this from one of your students? This looks like a perfectly normal bicycle helmet until you look at all the, describe what it is, because we'll have a picture of this on our website for people to see. What is this? The lights are blinking at me. What is it?
Yeah, so it's a bicycle helmet that one of our eighth graders has rigged up to detect concussions. And so I was trying to teach her about physics and acceleration and some math and programming. And to do it, she has an Arduino board, which is just one of these little computers, hooked up on the back. And it's running a program that says, hey, listen to this accelerometer, which is also attached to the helmet. And if the accelerometer spits out a number that's too high, that means the head experienced a real big jolt.
So that can sense how fast it's moving through space?
Yeah, this little red chip here.
Okay.
Can sense how fast it gets jolted.
Okay, but how fast it stops when the concussion. So that's the only part of it. Do you think that will have an application? Will we find that on store shelves and football helmets?
Well, there already are these things. The NFL owns hundreds of these, not ours, obviously, but hundreds of commercial versions of this product. Mm-hmm. And my students were just interested in how would you make that. And I think that's what's interesting about doing this in a K-12 environment is that the kids don't necessarily want to create something new and create a business out of it, although that would be a cool thing to have happen. And we have had students attempt to monetize their products. What we're really interested in is that kid, as soon as they show that modicum of engagement, I then as a teacher can say, through that tech, I can teach this content. Like getting these LEDs to light up, you know, it lights up red if the person experiences a concussion. It lights up yellow. Right now it's in test mode, so it's always lit up yellow. So evidently we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. But it lights up yellow when that person is kind of in danger, like they're experiencing some sort of active sport. And it lights up green when everything's totally okay, there's no chance of any brain damage. Even getting those LEDs to light up is a lot of learning about circuits and stuff, which is a perfectly appropriate content for an eighth grader.
Mm-hmm. So you said to make it. And this is part of something called the maker movement. Mm-hmm. The maker movement is exactly what you're describing or bigger?
It's definitely bigger. I mean, I would be ridiculous to say that I'm somehow like the maker movement or any representative of it. The maker movement is this enormous thing with millions of people all sharing their code and their hardware and their projects. I mean, there's a magazine, Make Magazine, which, you know, everyone should check out Make Magazine. It's very enabling. You know, the sort of motto of the maker movement is, do you have a problem? We have the technology for you to design something to fix that problem.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about the Big Ideas Group. You are the headmaster at the Big Ideas Group. Funny, it's a very old name for a very forward-looking group, actually. An optional secondary school program in Cedar Rapids. Tell me more about it. How do students get there?
So any student in Lynn and Johnson counties are free to attend or free to apply to attend. We're a part of the Cedar Rapids Public School District, and we're different than regular school in that, one, we don't believe we have the answer for education. We think that there's a certain part of the student population that would really love to learn in our project-based way. And we want to make sure that we have a really great option for those kids to enjoy that. We have students from the whole spectrum of students, all the way from your sort of AP high-flying down to your kids who maybe aren't so interested in school but want to work on a project. And we're really different in that we demand that our projects be connected to the community. Mm. So no one works on anything until someone in a business or a nonprofit or a government agency has said, yeah, we need that.
And there are no grades.
There are no grades. No, you're not done till you're done. This helmet, if it doesn't...
How do you know when you're done?
Well, the helmet works.
Okay.
Right? I mean, the project works. If it works, you're done.
Where will your students be in 5 or 10 years?
Well, we already had some students graduate, and they're going to places like UW-Madison, Vanderbilt. Some of them are going to, you know, Kirkwood and local institutions as well, University of Iowa. And what really happens is at their home base school, like Kennedy or WASH or anything like that, they get a really great education. They take a lot of different classes and they do it in a traditional way. But at Big, what we're saying is, you know, you're going to get a 4.0 and apply to Harvard or Cornell or Iowa State or wherever. And so is everyone else. What we want is to give you something that differentiates you. This helmet build for this girl, Marika, she's going to put that on her resume and say, I built a concussion helmet. I know those exist already, but I built one from scratch. That differentiates me from my peers. And we want to give kids that in addition to the amazing education that they're getting at a school like Kennedy or West or City or WASH.
And when we look at our future, do you see in our future as a society, as a world, we need more people like this? Is that what you're saying?
I think we're calling for it. The president called for it in the State of the Union. We need more students becoming engineers. And I don't mean going through an engineering curriculum. I mean trying to engineer something. And with a teacher who I believe I'm going to let my kids fail and help them through that. You know, this helmet, she spent an entire day on this, no progress, frustrated, wanted to quit, right? Yep. But I want her to experience that. I want to say to her, you know, I tried to build a Wi-Fi enabled meat smoker this summer. And it took, I mean, you know, you'd think I could do that in, you know, a couple hours, right? I'm the teacher. I'm supposed to know how to do this. No, it took me like a week and a half to get this thing to work. And now I can like go on my phone and turn the air vents up and down on it. But I had to sort of struggle through, like, is this worth my time? My wife is making fun of me for building this. Like, do I keep going, you know? And the answer is, yeah, you know, this is what failure feels like. You know, you run into problems with the code. You run into problems with the hardware. You run into the fact that you have no idea how much oxygen actually should go into a smoker to, like, keep the meat from starting on fire when you're not there. Right? You don't know those things. But now I do, because I was motivated to get this thing done. And I want that experience for my students, in addition to the amazing experiences that they have back at their home-based schools.
Sean Cornally, headmaster at the Big Ideas Group, an optional secondary school program in Cedar Rapids. He will be speaking at the Mission Creek Tech Conference this weekend. We'll put a link to the Mission Creek Conference on our website. It's missionfreak.com to find out more about that. Sean, from what you've given me in these few minutes, I don't think you have any fear that people will listen to this and not want to come hear you speak, because there's clearly a lot more behind what you have to say. Sean Cornally, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for the time.